We're going to shift gears here. Food, of course, is all about culture, and so is child rearing. And when you put them together, you create a vortex of interest, which is the next focus that we have here. When do you feed your children, your babies, solid food? In my house, we got four kids, two sets of twins. Started about 6 months. It was solid food, sure, but it was pretty mushed down. We didn't use commercial baby food, but I did all the mushing myself. But the question is that appropriate? Why do kids have to get the mushed food? And is that something we just do in the United States? Or do kids actually themselves, babies, know more about when to start eating real food than we parents do? Joining us now is Keith Dixon, food writer for the New York Times, here in the studio. Good morning, Keith.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And joining us from Glasgow is a writer for the Sunday Times of London, Helen Stewart. Helen, thanks for being with us. Helen is the author of the blog BabyLedWeaning.com. Thanks, Helen, for being with us.
You're very welcome.
So, Keith, let's just begin. This is a huge subject of interest by parents. And
very much so, yeah.
I have to say that I enjoyed doing the smushing of the vegetables and the rice and stuff, but I did notice that my kids actually preferred the real stuff, particularly the broccoli.
Absolutely. I think one of the reasons parents tend to feel they're in a hurry to move on to solid chewable foods is because kids are often reaching and sort of flailing to try to get at the parents' dinner. And so I followed my daughter's lead and went right ahead and gave her our dinner.
And what's the sort of developmental issue here? We're always told that too much solid food, the kids will choke. But in some ways, are the kids learning how to deal with food and developing their motor skills by actually trying stuff out?
They're learning. The kids learn virtually everything they learn by imitating you, and they see you eating solid foods, and they want to do the same thing. And that's really what it is all about as a parent, is that you don't know everything. You just have to kind of follow the child's lead and ease into things.
Helen, explain the child's wisdom, a three-month-old or a six-month-old's wisdom about the kind of food it wants to eat versus, you know, all the smushed carrots and peas and stuff.
Well, it's hysterical that you say broccoli. My wee girl is 2.5 now, and broccoli is very much still her favorite vegetable because that's what she ate from the very beginning. You know, that was one of her first foods. I think, imagine if you're a little baby and everything is new to you, and somebody offers you a green mush, then that could be pea mush, it could be broccoli mush, it could be bean mush of some description. You might then develop a dislike for broccoli mush and then disregard all future green mush as being the same thing.
So mush.
Children want to pick up everything. They want to feel things. They want to explore. And by giving them a homogenous substance, you're really limiting them in that regard, if you think about it.
Mushed vegetables can scar you for life. I think maybe I experienced that.
I would contend easily.
Absolutely.
Well, I've had mushed carrots.
Yeah, mushed carrots are definitely disgusting. Well, how do you deal, Keith, with allergies, though? Because doctors do warn that certain classes of foods are, have certain hazards.
Yes, it's true. You have to be very careful when you're introducing new foods. But the nutritionists that I spoke to report the article said that a lot of the food allergy data are being refuted. So the most important thing to do is wait 5 to 7 days after introducing a new food for the first time.
So let's have some recipes here.
Lots of great stuff that works. Ravioli with sage sauce, short ribs braised, and then served with a carrot
short
puree.
Ribs.
Short ribs. I know.
So how is that served up exactly?
Well, the most important thing is when you're serving chewable foods to your child, you have to carefully cut up the food and confirm that the bites are tender enough to be mashed with a fork or with gums because babies, of course, don't have molars yet. Secondly, you need to cut it so it's not stringy, because if you're giving them stringy foods, there's a risk that they'll choke as well. So,
Helen,
I would put a lot fewer disclaimers, but then in the UK we are, you know, less litigious about these sorts of things. But really, my question would be, John and Adora, what food do you like? What food do you eat in your house? That's the food you like cooking. So don't put salt on it. Don't add peanuts to it. And then see if your child likes it and can cope with it. If they don't like it, if they don't cope with it, cook something else. Start with what you and your family like. That makes much more sense, doesn't it? Rather than getting into the realms of children's food. I mean, it sounds very much like that's what Keith's doing himself as well. They all sound like delicious things that I'd be very happy for him to come around and cook for me in my house. But that is the first principle. What do you like eating? What are you happy cooking? What is convenient and easy for you?
Well, we should also point out...
That child joined your family, not the other way around.
Right. Baby food is, like, insanely expensive as well. So there's certainly an economic incentive.
Yeah, formula itself can be hundreds of dollars a month. Right. And just starting from there, it gets...
They lock it away. It's so expensive. That's the issue. So I
but
guess...
that's another reason why you won't see... there's not much discussion of this in magazines because there's not endless acres of adverts to go with. Just give your child what you're having. It's a very basic instruction. You know, there aren't adverts. There aren't big companies pushing it. It's just such a dumb, basic, sensible idea that, frankly, people do all around the world because they don't have money for these jars and crazy, creepy foods, you know.
Well, and certainly as kids grow up, if they have a wider variety of tastes, they're much more... easy to deal with at the dinner table if they have a wider range of food interests. That's for sure. Helen, thanks so much for joining us. I want to remind everybody that you founded the blog babyledweaning.com, which gets thousands of hits per month.
It certainly does.
And Keith Dixon is a food writer for the New York Times, and your recipe for sole Milanese and poached vegetables is linked
in today's paper.
In today's New York Times is also linked from our homepage at thetakeaway.org. That sounds delicious. Thanks, Keith, for coming in.
Thank you very much.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.